We are going to have an exciting 45 minutes or couple of hours or half a day service right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not intimidated by the fact that you're yawning already. No, we're going to have a wonderful time. Tonight, we're going to have a special treat. I hope it is. Because tonight, we're going to do a Graduate Healing School Module 4. We're moving along at a very slow pace. And we actually started this in March. And today, this is only number 4. We're teaching them on Fridays, every once in a while, as the Holy Spirit leads. And understand that the goal of this is that when the series is finished, between 20 and 25 modules, they will be in graduate school as part of Graduate Healing School. And to participate in that, for those who are not currently participating on it live, the person will have needed to have completed Healing School 1, 2, 3, and 4 before going to this. So you're really getting a jump start. Much of 4 has been taught here over the years, and we're going to take the original 4 and revitalize it and publish it so people can go through Healing School 1, 2, 3, 4, and then graduate school. So tonight you may hear some things that may be stressful for you if you have not gone through Healing School 1, 2, and 3. Understand as you listen, take the parts out of it which are quickened to your spirit, to your heart, and focus on that. If you hear things which you don't agree with or you don't understand or you think is beyond your level of capabilities, just ignore it. When you finish Healing School 1, 2, 3, and 4, then you'll be ready. Go back and listen to it again. It will be more meaningful. In the past, we have not done that. We have very gently brought people along so nobody is ever exposed to things beyond the level where they're at. But times are changing. And so I had a choice of doing this as we're currently doing it, which is every once in a while on a Friday evening at 7 p.m., or of doing it on Saturdays. And let me tell you, tonight we're going to talk about commitment. One of the things is commitment. Let me give you an example of commitment. Because we did not want to expose people to the meat of the word that was beyond their level of understanding, because we all have to progress from milk, from the milk of the word, to the meat of the word, to the strong meat. Now, you can only get that through the Holy Spirit, either directly as it teaches you, or through somebody else that the Holy Spirit is using to impart that knowledge. But every person on earth will, sooner or later, go from milk to meat to strong meat. For most believers, they'll actually get to that in the millennial period. But for some believers, they are determined to use the talents that God has given them here on earth, and so they are progressing from milk to meat, and we really hope that some of the stuff we have taught at ABC has been strong meat. So if there's some meat or strong meat here beyond your level, like I said, just put it on the back burner for the time being. Don't run away shrieking, boy, these people are heretics, or this is crazy, I can't do that. It won't help you, it won't help us. So that's the risk we run when we do this. But the reason we do it is this. My staff gave up every Saturday for somewhere between 8 and 10 years so we could do this properly, step by step. So every single Saturday we had a school. We had 4 schools that we taught on the 4 Saturdays of the month. And we continued that for many, many years until we needed a Saturday for the miracle service. Then we put Sismas of 4 on hold and gave that Saturday to the miracle service. So the people were still working every Saturday. So you understand, not everybody works for ABC full-time. So many of them have other full-time jobs elsewhere. So we have people here who went 7 days a week essentially for 8-10 years. So next time you think, well, you know, I know the healing school is out there. I know the School of Dominion is out there. I know Babbitt College is out there, but I don't feel like doing it. Think about the sacrifice that ABC has put so you can hear it. Let me guarantee you, we did not do that for 10 years and start giving up our saturdays because we had nothing else to do on saturdays. Okay? There's no way I'm going to ask the staff to go back and work on saturdays. I mean, not unless God puts it in writing on the wall. Okay? And I know He doesn't want that. I know He doesn't want that. Okay? We need to focus on ourselves also. I was telling somebody recently, a few days ago, I said, my wife are going to start taking, and I'm going to start taking some vacations and time off so we can focus on our own personal life, our files, our home, our offices, our fingernails. Because since we started ABC, we've put it all on hold. For 20 years, we've put our lives on hold to create 5.5 years of formal education. Okay? Man. Thank you, Evie. I appreciate that a lot. Man. Okay? Now, we did that because we don't want to see anybody, A, go to hell, B, because we don't like sickness and disease and infirmity, and C, we know that difficult times are coming up in the ending days. Most of you here went through the Book of Revelation series and the pre-series, so most of you here know when Jesus is returning. And the teaching is actually online, but it still has not been released. If you go around the end of last year, I made a promise at the beginning of last year. I said, before the year is over, I'll teach when Jesus is coming back. Not the day or the hour. Nobody knows that. But the year. And I gave all the scriptures for it. Now, it will be released very shortly. As soon as the Holy Spirit say release it, it will be released to anybody who wants to get on demand and hear it. But because we know the time is short, we're doing things differently. I need to give my staff time so they can mature in different ways and so they can get ready for graduate school semester 3. We have never taught a single day of graduate school semester 3. Not formally. My staff needs time to convince me that they're ready for it. So, again, the risk is that you might be exposing this teaching to something that is unusual. In that case, put it in the back burner. Pull out of it, but it's good. And we'll try to make this interesting. So, Healing School Semester 1, 2, and 3, the theme for the entire school is James 4:7. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If you went through those three semesters, if you submit yourself to the do's that God has told us to do, not just the don't, but the do's, that when you do this, this will happen. If you got that so integrated with yourself, so engrafted into your soul, that you believe the word of God in semester 1, then you're submitted. You're submitted not just to the don'ts, but also to the do's. So when the devil comes around and you say, get out of here, you believe he will leave because the word of God says he will leave. Right? If you do a good job of believing the do's and trying to live them in semester 1, then when you get to semester 2, you start resisting the devil. In semester 2, we teach you the Pentecostomy, the 5 parts of man. We teach you how to establish your kingdom of God. We teach you how to get healed through the fruit of the Spirit, not through the gifts of the Spirit. Much of the teaching in the Christian world today is based on the gifts of the Spirit. You see it on television, you see it in books, because miracles are exciting to see and talk about. Nobody likes to sit around watching paint dry. And that's more akin to getting healed through the fruit of the Spirit. We live in an instant world, you know. We want to literally drive through the drive-thru and have them throw the bag of food to us and grab it as we go. We don't want to pause and stop. That's the kind of world we live in. But no, the fruit of the Spirit is based on moderation, based on patience, based on love. And as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, that's the measurement of our Christian character. You can walk in miracles, signs, and wonders all the time. Jesus said, oh, so you cast out demons and you heal for me. Depart from me, I never knew you. The gifts of the Spirit are for others. They flow through you, flow through you, they flow through me. They flow through us to heal others. Not to heal ourselves. That's not the purpose of it. Can you get some healing that way? Yeah, but it's not normal. It's unusual. A believer's healing should come through the fruit of the Spirit. As you move from milk, when you're in milk, yeah, you can get healing from people praying for you. But when you get to meat, you start to live in the fruit of the Spirit, and you start to getting your healing on your own through the Word of God. When you get to semester 3, after you've been submitted to living in the kingdom, after you've been submitted to walking in joy, peace, and patience, after you've been submitted to living a Christian character and developing the fruit of the Spirit, then you get to semester 3. And in semester 3, demons flee from you. You walk in a room and demons walk out. You tell them go and they go. That's what healing school semester 1, 2, and 3 are about. Semester 4 really is prospering in the ending days. Spirit, soul, and body. Graduate healing school is like a PhD. Pile higher and deeper. Okay? So it's more the same, but from a more intense perspective. And so today is module 4, okay? So the foundation scripture for tonight is 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. These signs shall follow believers. In my name they shall cast out devils. These are signs that should follow every believer. They're signs to unbelievers, so you can get them saved. But they're signs to show that the person is a believer. I'm a believer. These signs follow me. You cast out devils. You speak in new tongues. You pick up any snake, it won't hurt you. Drinking a deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You lay hands on the sick and they get healed. These are signs that follow believers. From the ending of the book of Mark. Then after he said these things, Jesus was taken up to heaven, according to the book of Mark. So, these signs follow believers. Another sign that follows believers, in fact, it's not just a sign, it's a lifestyle, is we walk by faith, not by sight. Our lives are geared around, built around, dependent upon walking by faith and not by sight. Which means you must know what faith is. And faith, simply put, is God said it, I believe it, that settles it. For everything that God said, which means everything in the Bible. So if you're living your life based on sight, you're living your life carnally. Living carnally is not necessarily a sin per se. Carnally does not equate necessarily to sin. Carnally means it focuses on the natural things of the world. You're living a lifestyle that's based on the natural things of the world. And your thinking is based on the natural things of the world. Walking by sight means you're living spiritually and all your decisions are made by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And every person has to make the choice. For the Bible says, if you live carnally, you will die. Let me say it again. If you live carnally, you will die. If your lifestyle is based on the things of the world, you're living for the things of the world, you're living to enjoy the things of the world, you're making decisions by the things of the world, and that's where you are, and that's where you plan to be 10 years from now, you are going to die. No, see, for most people, that's not a shocker. Most people expect to die. You know, they all believe, what's his name? Ben Franklin, right? Nothing is certain except death and taxes. They believe that. I mean, Ben Franklin wouldn't tell a lie. No. But he can make mistakes. And boy, he made two whoppers when he said that. Nothing is certain but death and taxes. He's wrong on both counts. There are countries that have negative income tax. They make so much money, they give money back to the people. Nevada, for example, had no what? If I remember correctly, no personal income tax. That sales tax, but there's no personal income tax. Your income wasn't taxed, if I remember correctly. And death, whoa, does that fly in the face of 1 Corinthians 15:51? Behold, I tell you a secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. And the change will start today, not mañana, you know. I'm going to tell a story, okay? I mean, don't throw stones or sticks or anything, okay? I'm not trying to offend anybody. It's just funny. This man was in the Middle East, an American kind of guy. And he'd ask something, and he was there in business. And they would say, okay, inshallah. Inshallah. Everything was inshallah. So he talked to this guy who was there for years. He said, what is it, inshallah? I'm trying to get a contract done and talking to these people. And every time I'm trying to get a meeting set up or whatever, oh, when will you get back to me with information? They say, inshallah. Well, it says, inshallah means, basically in the will of Allah. So what does it mean? Well, it says, you know the Mexican mañana? How they say mañana? Yeah, I know how they say mañana, how it goes. Well, inshallah is that mañana without the urgency. I thought that's really funny, okay? Okay. So, anyway, hope nobody got offended by that, okay? So, I think that's really cute. And you all need some humor in the midst of what I'm saying. So, we don't want to start inshallah, and we don't want to start mañana, we want to start right now, which is right now. We want to start living by spiritual laws. We want to start living with a focus on heaven. We don't want to believe that everybody's going to die just because Benjamin Franklin said it and because everybody, you know, who's older died. Hey, did they know as much scripture as you did? Probably not. Did they know the Bible says? Did they know the Bible? Period. Did they know the Bible says that we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed? Did they know the Bible says, those who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him? Did they know that Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith? Or shall I find people walking by sight? Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith? Shall I find people who are changing their approach to lives? Who are choosing not to live carnally, by sight, but to live by faith? If you're a believer, these signs should follow you that I mentioned, and what should follow you also is that you walk by faith. So that was the first line of the teaching. So we want to live by faith. What does living by faith mean? Living by faith is a total commitment of your life to Jesus. Total commitment. Sooner or later, you're going to give a total commitment to Jesus. See, it's like Adam. Adam had it made in the shade. He had to give a total commitment to God. But the total commitment consisted simply of, don't eat the fruit. And he ate the fruit. But God is no respecter of persons. Let me say it again. God doesn't play favorites. What God does for one, he'll do for the other. And we all believe that. We said, God heal a person, he'll heal me. God made that person's need, he'll meet mine. God save me, he'll save anybody who wants to be saved. But on the other hand, when God required total commitment from Adam, he also is going to require it from each of us. And an introduction to that will be a point in time when all people on earth will be told, not just by the Bible, not just by people teaching from the book of Revelation, but by angels flying through the heavens telling you, don't worship the beast, nor take the mark of the beast or you'll burn for eternity. Now there's the fruit you don't want to eat. Now how can you get to the point where A, that's not a challenge for you? I know that a lot of people think, well, that's going to happen long after the church is raptured. That's only because you didn't participate in the Book of Revelation series. Does almost every strong, wonderful believer in earth believe that? Absolutely. Unfortunately, they're all wrong. So, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's never more true than today. Today, when technology is moving so fast that it's hard to even keep up with the technology in any area, people simply think the Word of God is still not moving, that the revelation is not moving. They're still going to church, which are still teaching the same revelation they had 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 300 years ago, 500 years ago. And they're still existing around that revelation knowledge. Well, living by faith really means a total commitment of your life to Jesus. And a very wonderful place where it's described is in Hebrews 6:12 in the Amplified Classic Bible. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, and here's the definition of faith, by the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's a wonderful definition of faith. Leaning of the entire personality in God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Now, if that's the definition of faith, and you're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, ask yourself a question. When is the last time you did that? Lean with your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. How many decisions did you make today? Psychologists tell us you made about 25,000 decisions. In how many of those decisions did you lean on God in your entire personality in absolute trust and confidence? Frankly, in how many of those decisions did you check with God? And if you didn't check with God, if you didn't lean with your entire personality, could it be you're walking by sight, not by faith? And sight has to do with the senses. And the senses have to do with measuring carnality. You see why this is not healing school semester 1, 2, or 3? This is graduate healing school. By now, I hope you should see why, okay? A2, all your actions must be based on the Word. Well, that's actually derived from that. Can be derived from it. If you lean on God with your entire personality in absolute trust, then you must be leaning on the Word, and everything you do must be based on the Word. But apart from that, we were saved because we accepted Jesus as Savior. But once you accept Him as Savior, you need to accept Him as Lord. See, if you accept Him as Savior, you are born again. Your spirit is recreated. But Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not Savior, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. So with your mouth you confess to salvation, and with your heart you believe unto righteousness. Because that save there is not simply getting born again. That save is growing up to be an overcomer. It's walking in health, walking with your needs met, walking with power and dominion over the earth and people around you. Walking and not dying so you're alive and remaining when Jesus returns. So that you're caught up with Him, and so you can go into the millennial period, not subject to the second death. Because the first death is nothing. The first death, the Bible calls sleeping. You're just asleep, and your spirit is with the Lord. But the second death, no, that's something. That's being cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to go there themselves. Nobody wants anybody else to go there. So that's why we need the Lordship of Jesus. It's in the Lordship of Jesus that we obey His word and we're washed by the water of the word to be without spot and wrinkle, to be without demons in our lives and in our homes and anywhere else where demons may hang out. So being born again means you recognize Jesus as the Savior. You're baptized under Christ. Jesus is your Savior. But we need to be baptized under the washing of the water by the word, as well as baptized by fire, which is commitment, and baptized under the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and baptized in water by immersion for washing away the past. Really quiet. And I haven't even gotten started yet. So your action must be based on the word. Here is how Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Classic puts it. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You know, take a pencil and put a line on the last thing. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let me tell you, and right next to it put Mark 11:24. Here is where almost every single Christian stumbles and falls. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So when you pray Mark 11:24, and I'm sure everybody knows what it is, if you're here at ABC, but I'll tell you just so you can hear it again. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, present tense, when you pray, present tense, believe that you receive, present tense, and you shall have them, future tense. So when you desire and you pray and you believe you receive, present tense, they shall show up in the future. Assuming that your faith perceives as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. What does that mean? It means that when you say amen, you believe it's done in the spiritual realm. God has answered your prayer because God is not a liar, and it's done. But you can't perceive it with your sight. Therefore, you must walk by faith, perceiving it through the word of God, and perceiving as real fact, as real fact, as real fact, what is not yet revealed to your senses. If you do that, if you live spiritually, if you live by walking by faith, if you live by not walking by sight, and you perceive as real fact that which has not yet been revealed to your senses, then you will get the manifestation, or in other words, your prayers will be answered. That's where almost every Christian falls down. They don't do that. They don't believe the prayer is answered till they see it. That is walking carnally. That is walking by sight. Let me say it again. Most Christians, in my experience of 40 years, don't believe their prayers are answered until they see it. Therefore, they are walking by sight. They are walking by their senses. They are not perceiving as real fact that which has not yet been revealed to their senses. That's exactly a contradiction of 2 Corinthians 5:7. They're walking by that which is revealed to their senses, and they're not walking by that which is not yet revealed to their senses. This might be a long service, okay, but so you have to leave. I thought it was going to be short because I did a short praise and worship. And it may be, but I'm feeling it's not. Tomorrow is Saturday. We could be here all day. You know? We set a record of a service. How long was our longest service? I forget. Yeah, the longest unplanned service was 14 hours. We have all day tomorrow. We could break it. Okay. Listen, we're not a baby church. We're here to do what God wants. If God says stay here all night, we should stay here all night. Our longest service that was planned was 24 hours. But we don't count that because it was planned. Let me tell you, if we stay until sometime tomorrow, and it saves your life and saves the lives of your loved one and gets you into the millennial period and into the rapture and misses the lake of fire, wouldn't that be worthwhile? I would think so. So all of our action must be based on the word. Shortly after I got saved, I had one contract that I wanted to hang on to. Okay? God had not yet told me to close down my business. And this contract was very profitable and brought a lot of money in up front. And so shortly after I got saved, they told me I had a contract and the paperwork was being sent to me. And I was staffing up and everything. And then my friend at the company called me and said, "Hey, you know, there's been a management change and they like some other company and they want to talk to the company before they send you the paperwork." I said, "I don't care. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I pray that this contract is mine. And it's mine." So, not a couple weeks go by or a month, they call me up and say, "Listen, you know, they really like this other company. So I'm giving you some warning here." I said, "No need of warning. It's my contract. I got it." So another time goes by, he calls me up and says, "Meanwhile, I'm doing affirmations. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, this contract belongs to me. In the name of Jesus, this contract belongs to me." So they call me up after another time and they say, "They have decided to give the contract to the other company. And this is your formal notification that you have not been selected." And I said, "I don't care. It's my contract. God has given me that contract. I don't care what you tell me. I'm not perceiving reality by what they're saying. I'm perceiving it through Mark 11:24. You all got that? Okay. You all need to get that. Almost everybody in this room, almost. Okay? There's some exceptions, but almost everybody in this room needs to get that. Except for my staff. They don't need to get it. No. My staff has got it, for the most part. But most of the rest of you need to get this. So, another few weeks go by, I get a letter in the mail. I open the letter. It says, "Sorry, thanks for your bidding, but we've decided to give the contract to somebody else." I tore it up. I threw it in the trash. I said, "Thank you, Lord, this contract is mine." And I kept affirming. And my friend told me they've awarded the contract to the company. I didn't care. I kept affirming. 1 year goes by. I didn't hear any more after that. I kept affirming. 1 year goes by. And the natural is over. I got the letter. They've told me. They've told me that a company has been given the contract. I kept affirming. 1 year later, I get a call from the original guy I talked to. He says, "Man, a lot has happened. The management change erupted. The company kind of blew up in different ways. It split up. The other company never started the project. And all the people who designed the project and wanted to build the system and wanted to give it to me, all of them moved to Hughes Aircraft. And they called me up from Hughes Aircraft and says, 'We want to build the system for Hughes. Hughes has approved it. We want you to build it.'" 1 year later, I got the contract. The only difference was the letterhead. It had a new company, not the old company. Now, if I had said, "Well, I guess that wasn't my contract," if I had walked by sight, if I walked by what my ears heard, which is, "You're not going to get it," I would never have gotten the contract. Now, the contract was a lot of money, especially in those days. You know, I was a small company, and it was a six-figure contract. So that was very significant. This is, what, close to 40 years ago, I guess. Six figures was still six figures in those days. But what's more important than that was the practice and the learning of the concept that I walk by what the word says, not what people do and not what people say. Doesn't make any difference if they're your family. You walk by what the word says, okay? So let's look at the essence of faith. I've taken the sentence or phrase from Hebrews 6:12, and I have added some stuff in it that I think represents more our teaching at ABC. So this is like an ABC definition of faith based on the Amplified Classic. Your faith is the leading of your entire being, not just your personality. Not just your personality. It's your entire being. It's spirit, heart, soul, mind, body, words, and works and possession. Leading of all that, not just your personality, which is a reflection of your mind. It's the leaning of your entire being on God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His, and I added the word, Word. Number one, it's in His Word, in the Word. You lean on the Word. And through the Word, you can lean on His power. And through the Word, you can lean on His wisdom. And through the Word, you can lean on His goodness. But you can't lean on any of them unless you know the Word of God. So, here's the definition of faith. I'd like all the ABC graduate school students, those who have graduated semester 1, 2, and 3, to apply it to their lives. Your faith is the leaning of your entire being on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His Word, power, wisdom, and goodness. What does that mean? I was overseas, ministering in a very dangerous area, extremely dangerous, in a very city where many parts of it was dangerous. And one morning I woke up, side of the prayer, and the Lord says, today I want you to take a bus and go to that area, which I knew to be very dangerous. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. He says, when you get there, you will be attacked by two men. Will you do it? I said, yes, Lord. That was the end of the conversation. I did not say why. I did not ask, what am I going to do when I get there? Now, how do I get out of it when the two men attack me? I did not ask, am I going to live when they attack me? I simply said, yes, Lord, and I went. Sure enough, took the bus, went over there, two men attacked me with two ice picks. You know those big ice picks that used to cut ice blocks? One stuck one here, and one stuck one here. The first realization as being attacked is suddenly I see two ice picks. And I looked at them, and I said, Jesus loves you. And everything stopped. There was not a sound anywhere around. And I said, Jesus loves you. And there was kind of shock on their faces. And I said, Jesus loves you. And they backed up a little bit. I said, Jesus loves you. And they turned. I said, Jesus loves you. And they started to run. Now, I think when I did that, I was leaning on God in absolute trust and confidence with my entire being and my life on His Word and His power. Now, because of the contract and because of this, when the devil says to me, I was watching television, this is, 20 years ago, and there was a commercial, and they listed like 6 or 7 items. None of them were fun items. Mm. Bang, 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 bang. They said, if you got most of these, here's what you got. Go see your doctor. Oh, I mean, it was cancer, right? Cancer of a certain thing. So if you got this, go see your doctor. Well, my recollection is that I was challenged with all 7. So what did I do? I did the only sensible thing. I turned the television off. And that was the end of it. That was 20 years ago. See, the devil can say anything he wants. Your choice is, are you going to believe what the devil says or what the Word of God says? And that's where you walk by faith and not by sight. That's where you make a choice. Do I believe the report of God? Whose report do I believe? Do I report what God is saying or do I believe what the devil is saying? Do I walk carnally by what my 5 senses are saying or do I walk by what the Word of God is saying? No, you don't do this when there's a problem. And the rest of the time you walk carnally. One of my friends from high school got saved. I had nothing to do with this. I just heard the story. He got saved maybe a few years after we got saved. And he was going to dialysis once a week, I guess. And he heard that you're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And you said, okay, I'm going to stop dialysis. So I believe the Word of God, I'm going to stop dialysis. Well, did he believe the Word of God? Well, he believed the Bible was the Word of God. He believed the Bible says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. In that sense, he believed it. But he believed it in his mind, not in his heart. Because if he believed the Bible was the word of God in his heart, he would have changed some of the sinful habits he had in his lifestyle, which he did not change. If he had believed in his heart the Bible is the word of God, he would have fed in it, which he wasn't doing. But he saw one gem in the Bible he wanted, and that's the one he jumped on. He didn't realize the Bible says you're subject to authority, and if you're going to doctors, you must do what the doctor says. Otherwise, it's a sin. He didn't know that. So he quick went to the doctor. He continued his bad habits, and he had some significantly life-threatening bad habits, and he died. He died because he stopped his dialysis. So this is not something where you pick and choose what you want to do. This is a lifestyle commitment to Jesus. It's a lifestyle commitment to living by what the Word of God says. Now, if you want to do that and live a lifestyle committed to the Word, walking by faith and not by your five senses, then you can move into every blessing the Bible has. A3. Your faith is a title deed to whatever you desire. That's contained in the promises of God. Your faith is a title deed. We all know what title deed is. We have title deeds to our motorcycles, our cars, our homes. Title deeds to your washing machine. Title deed means it belongs to you. Your faith tells you these promises belong to you. It's your title deed. If you view your faith as a title deed for every promise of God, then boy, you start to know where every scripture is that you need. You'd feed on the word. You'd memorize scriptures. Because those scriptures are giving you what you want. And all that process of getting hungry for the word and feeding on the word and memorizing scriptures, those are all part of being washed by the water of the word. So you move towards being conformed to the image of Christ without spot or wrinkle. Your faith is the title deed. After you live this for a while, things happen, start to happen that are amazing. After I've been living this for about 5 years, I got a call at work. I'd gone back into the corporate world for a season. And I got a call at work. And the call says, your mother had a serious, I forget. It's either a heart attack or a stroke. My mother had a lot of challenges. My mother belonged to a religion that did not believe in healing. So she never listened to us when things were going well, only when things are challenging. So we'd be constantly praying out of one challenge or another. And once she got over it, she'd go back to that religion and pay no attention to healing and more or less disbelieve it. So, I believe it was a heart attack. Pretty sure it was a heart attack. It's not important. So, this is a long time ago, okay? So at that time, how old was my mother? Well, I'm going to guess she was about 70. To me, 70 was really ancient. As it is to many people listening to me, I'm sure. Today, I'm looking at 70 through the rearview mirror. Okay? So, I said, well, my mother has that, had 70 years, which God promises, so I don't know how to pray. So I said, okay, I'll be there, and I started driving. So I prayed in tongues for about 45 minutes in my car, and then God started speaking to me. Because when they called me, they said, looks like she's not going to live. So God says, number one is she will not die. Number two is she'll be moved from the hospital she's in to another hospital. When she gets to the second hospital, they'll find that the first hospital made a mistake, misdiagnosis. They'll correct it, but then they'll make a mistake and they'll want to perform surgery and don't do it because they'll be making a mistake. Seven things. I would say that's rather detailed. Now remember, I remember as I said, seven details. Seven details are important to me. Whether it was a heart attack or stroke is not important. That's walking by sight. Doesn't make a difference what it is. What's important is what God said. Those are the seven things God told me, and those I know. I'm pretty sure it was a heart attack. So sure enough, she was transferred from the first hospital to the second. Sure enough, they said, boy, they made a mistake. Look at this. They really made a big mistake. So they corrected the problem. They also made several mistakes, three more mistakes that I caught because the Lord told me to be, and I caught them. But the big one is this. Every night I would leave her and go home. Maybe I'd leave there at 8, 9 o'clock and go home. And one night, because the hospitals, all guests are supposed to be out by 9, or visitors by 9. And so, come 9 o'clock, the Lord said, don't leave tonight. Just stay. Now, if they'd asked me, I'd have to leave. So I just sat in my chair, by the bed, praying in tongues. Pray from 9 to 12, from 12 to 3, 6 hours of tongues. And at 3 o'clock, boy, it seemed like every alarm in the room went off. And people started pouring into that room. First, several nurses and doctors and all kinds of people. Rumors. Must have had half a dozen to 9 people in the room. I'm sitting there, minding my own business, just praying in tongues. Finally, the head doctor comes over and says, well, this just happened to your mother, and we need to perform immediate heart surgery. I said, no, sir, there'll be no surgery. He says, this happened. She could die at any moment. We have heart surgery right now. I says, doctor, there will be no surgery. So he grumbled. He went away. The head nurse came, told her the same thing. She went away. The administrator and duty came, started telling me about all the legal ramifications and so forth, and finally I signed some papers saying no surgery. There was no surgery. Next day, I called up a friend who had a good friend who was a heart specialist. And I said, here's what happened. I'd like you to check them. So he went over and he checked all the records, you know, the kind of thing. And he said, right here, the machine malfunctioned. You can see it right here. And because the machine malfunctioned, they think this happened. It didn't happen. It's a machine malfunction. If I wasn't there, if I had not noticed that my mother didn't budge through the whole process, if God hadn't told me, I might have approved heart surgery on my mother. So anyway, a few days later, they released her. No, I would say that during that entire process, I walked with faith and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and I did not walk based on what my ears were telling me. That's known as walking by faith and not by sight. That was for my mother, but it works the same way for your own body. But again, it only works that way when you're fully committed to Jesus Christ. This is not a situation where you go to church once a week for an hour and think that all the blessings are going to fall off the tree on your head like ripe tomatoes falling off an apple tree. It's not going to happen. So healing comes by not walking by sight. Healing comes by faith, which is not walking by sight. The Word is all you need. The Word is all you need. Listen to this carefully and think about what I'm saying. From John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. The Word became Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. This Word, which you speak. That's why we do affirmations. We speak the Word of God. For the anointing is on the Word when you speak it, not sitting here in a book. This Word becomes alive when you speak it. For the Word of God is a seed. And when you speak it, it starts to bring forth that for which it was sent. God's Word shall not come back to Him void, but it will perform that for which it was intended when the intender speaks it out. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. God said he sent his word and healed them. And Jesus took all our sickness and diseases. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God sent his word to take all sickness and diseases so you don't have to have it. So who are you going to believe? The symptoms from your body or the word of God? And if the symptoms from your body are so yelling and so challenging, then perhaps you haven't been spending enough time in the word, speaking the word, studying the word, and talking to God. Because the more time you spend with him is the more the anointing changes you. For the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The spirit of life is in you, and he pumps life into your flesh. But you got to do your part, which is spend time with God and in the word and talking to him and living the word. 1 Peter 2:24. This says what I just said in different words. Who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. See, he died for us that we should live unto righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means we are living by faith in the word of God, living spiritually, not being tied down to the earth by our carnal senses. We should live unto righteousness. We are free of sins. We're not in bondage to sins. We're not servants of Satan. We don't serve the idol of Satan, nor is the sin our master. We've been set free. And when we live that way, that we should live unto righteousness, that we should take righteousness and work it out into our members, as it says in Romans, then a byproduct of that is by his stripes you've been healed. The primary purpose of 1 Peter 2:24 is not your healing. That's the byproduct. The primary purpose is teaching you you're dead to sin. Live by faith, not by senses. Live by the word of God. Live by righteousness. Look at the word. Why 2 Corinthians 4:18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. God doesn't want us to look at the things which are seen, because that's walking by sight. If you can see it, it's coming through your eyes. That sight, it's carnal. He wants you to look at the things that are not seen, the promises of God which have not yet manifested in your life. You look at the word of God, and through the word of God, you see the promise of God. You've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God answers your prayers. What you prayed for belonged to you. Look at them. You can't see them with your eyes yet, but you can see them with your eye of faith. Because faith is your title deal. And you're leaning with your entire personality and your entire being on the word of God. On your faith in the word of God. On your faith in the voice of God. Not on what your five senses are telling you. Because your five senses only see carnal things, and your five senses are easily hypnotized and receive lies from the enemy. You cannot rely on your five senses. If you rely on your five senses, they take you to a point where the doctor will say, I can't help you. Medicine can't help you. And it's a terrible time to start learning how to rely on God. Romans 4:20. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, unbelief comes from the five senses. The senses say, that's impossible. How can that happen? But the word of God says, God can do anything. So, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised. See, are we fully persuaded that the promises of God are true? Are we fully persuaded? What's another way of putting that? Are we having faith to lean with our entire being on the word of God in absolute trust and confidence? That's what fully persuaded means. Are we fully persuaded that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? Oh, I know we all believe it in our heads, but are we believing it in our hearts? How do you know which one is true? Look at what you do. Look at what you do. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as the mouth speaks, the body carries out what the mouth speaks. So your actions tell you Your words tell you clearly what's in your heart, but your action is the derivative of that. That's why faith requires a faith action plan. Your actions must be consistent with your faith. So your actions must be consistent with not walking by sight, but walking with the entire leaning of your being on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His word and His power and His goodness and His mercy. The big problem is that people are afraid to die, you know? Like, if I trust God and it doesn't work, I might die. Well, if you die, you're in a better place. You're in heaven. And if you die standing on the word of God, technically you're a martyr. And a martyr is not subject to the second death. A martyr has a great place in the book of Revelation. But if you're committed to God, you won't die. If you're committed with your mind, here's a promise, I like it. Like people tell me, you know, pray that I get healed because I don't want to have surgery. For 40 years, people have been telling me, pray for me for this because I don't want to have surgery. I've never yet had somebody say to me, Joshua, I really want to have surgery. Nobody ever says I want to have surgery. Of course, nobody wants to have surgery. That's not a good reason for praying for your healing. You want to pray for your healing because Jesus Christ paid the price for it. It's a gift from God and you want to open it. And you want to magnify God in your body. It's a, here's the body you paid for. It's free of sickness and disease. That's why you want to get your healing. Not to save a few bucks or avoid surgery. That's carnal thinking. God can heal you with or without surgery. God can heal you with or without money. God can provide the money for the surgery. And God can provide the money without the surgery. So, Abraham was not staggered by the promise of God, but he believed God's word. And we should check ourselves. Are we staggered by the promise of God? Whose report should we believe? Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God can do what he says. Not only can God do what he says, God will do what he says. God shall do what he says. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I've believed. Do we know whom we've believed? The great God who created everything. And I'm persuaded, I'm fully committed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Whatever day the devil is lying to you about, God can see you through that day. Another thing about prayer, you know, a lot of prayer is about receiving from God, but not one has a time limit on it. Mark 11:23, no time limit. Mark 11:24, no time limit. 1 Peter 2:24, no time limit. None of them have a time limit. Matthew 18:19, no time limit. Because once you start thinking in terms of time limit, you're starting to track your footsteps all over patience. And faith with patience, you inherit the promise. Faith, relying on God fully, knowing that sooner or later, God will give you what you ask for of something better. That we don't care what our five senses are telling us. We don't care what we read in the newspaper. We don't care what the doctors are saying. For faith and patience work through faith and conviction on the word of God and not through what people are saying. As soon as you start putting time limits on God, you know that you're not exactly walking in patience. And he also tells you, you're not exactly walking in faith. You're more walking in fear. I'm afraid that if it doesn't happen by this time, oh, there'll be bad consequences. There is no time limit on any of God's prayers. God can answer them before the fact, during the fact, or after the fact. Speak the word. So, the word is all you need. You see things through the word. You don't look at the things that are carnal. And no, you speak the word. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. No, think of this. Think of the faith of this man. I've made thee a father of many nations. It says, have made. The man was 100 years old. He had one son eventually. A son by promise, had a son by walking by sight. He had a son through carnality, but he had only one son through the promise. He got tired of waiting and had a son. But he had one son by promise. And he's being called a father of many nations. And when God told him he's going to be a father of many nations and change his name, his body was past child rearing, so was his wife's body. So when you see a symptom in your body, you think that's anywhere near as challenging as what Abraham went through? And Abraham didn't have the Bible to read. And Abraham wasn't born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. He didn't have the name of Jesus. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. That's the way you live. You live with 100% commitment on the Word of God. You live 100% committed to Jesus. You believe the report of God. You walk by faith, leaning with God on 100% commitment. And when you pray, you keep looking into the spiritual realm to see the things you prayed for. You see the things that are not seen. You don't look at the things you see. And you keep calling them into existence. You keep doing your affirmations and declaring them and pulling them down. You do that, you'll overcome every challenge and every prayer will be answered. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. See, if we would consider not our own body, the devil couldn't lie to us and be successful about symptoms. For the devil to be successful at talking to you about symptoms, you must consider your own body. And considering your own body and putting it above the Word of God is walking by sight, not by faith. But again, this doesn't work because you mentally agree with it. It has to work in your heart. The starting place is examine your life. How do you spend your day? How do you spend your words? How do you spend your time with God and the Bible? And if those are your major goals, then you can move through this process and not consider your body. But if you're not going to spend time making God first and the Word of God first in your life and spending time with God and talking to God and praying and do all the things you should do, then go see a doctor and do what the doctor says. Which will work in the short term, but it won't work in the long term. Ask the people in New Orleans and Houston. New Orleans from Katrina and Houston recently. Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Don't let the devil guide your life through symptoms. Symptoms are just temptations. You don't let your life be guided by the temptations that come to your head to eat too much, drink too much, sexually prowl around, all the bad habits you used to do when you before you're saved. You don't let those temptations guide your life. So why are you letting temptations about symptoms guide your life? It's the same devil. It's the same lie. It's the same temptation. They all want you to walk by sight and not by faith in the Word of God. The Word of God says, cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the Word of God. That certainly includes immoral thoughts, fantasies, bad words, but it also includes everything that contradicts the Word of God. And the Word of God says, you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Cast it down. Cast on the symptoms. And go after the demons behind it. And after you beat them up a few times, they'll come back with fewer and fewer symptoms. Thank you for your time. We're not going to go until tomorrow. In fact, this is not even very long.